Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, Paul has now introduced the term mystery, as it comes up in our text as we study verse by verse through the book of Colossians, and have come in chapter 1 to verse 26, where he mentions mystery. And that, of course, is not the first time that you'll find that word in the New Testament scriptures. It is used a number of times, but nevertheless, it is a puzzling term for a variety of reasons, one of which is because it is used in the New Testament in a way somewhat different from the way that we are accustomed to use it in our normal English language today. When we talk about a mystery, we're talking about a riddle, a puzzle to be solved, sometimes a crime to be figure out who committed and so forth, but a mystery. But in Paul's day, it had more to do with a mystery religion, with rites or rituals that belong to an exclusive group. Either only members of the group could know these doctrines, or in many cases, there were levels of sophistication within the group, and you had to rise to the higher levels before you could be introduced to the mysteries. So this is how this worked, and yet that's not what the concept is in Christianity. And Paul has introduced this in the section where he is actually introducing himself in a personal way to the Colossian believers, telling them a little bit more about who he is and what he does, so that they who have never met him can understand him a little bit better. And it is in the course of talking about who he is, he introduces this term of mystery, because the explanation of the mystery is a big part of who Paul is and what he does. That's why it's introduced in this particular place. So we want to study this a little bit further. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, March 8. Thank you for remembering that we are dependent upon your gifts to continue teaching on this station. Now we go back to verse 24, where Paul talks about the church, his body, which is the church, verse 25, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery, which has been hidden from ages, and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So there it is. The word is used in verse 26 and again in verse 27. And as we've already pointed out, it is a New Testament word that is used three times by Christ in connection with the kingdom parables, four times in the book of Revelation in relationship to the seven stars and mystery Babylon and so forth. But by Paul, it is used 20 times in the New Testament, 10 of which are found in Ephesians and Colossians. And four of them are in Colossians, so that means six of them are found in the book of Ephesians. Now, we started yesterday in the broadcast going through the description of this mystery as it's given to us here, and we're going to continue doing that rather quickly, looking at six aspects of the mystery as revealed in verses 25 through 27, and then we're going to go back and take the first three and view them more carefully. So, what are the six aspects of the mystery? And we saw three of them on the broadcast yesterday. Number one, the mystery fulfills God's word. Number two, the mystery was hidden in ages past. Number three, the mystery has now been revealed. And then we move on to three more that we didn't look at yesterday. Number four, the mystery displays God's glory. Verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. The mystery displays God's glory. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 25 that it is the glory of God to conceal and to reveal. That's part of his glory, this sovereign right to conceal truth when it accomplishes his purposes and to reveal truth when it accomplishes his purposes. And so this mystery, which has been hidden in ages past but is now revealed, follows that pattern. It contributed to God's glory to conceal truth involved in this mystery in ages past. It now contributes to God's glory to reveal the mystery, the truths that were hidden in the mystery. That's a demonstration of God's sovereignty. He has the right to do that, and he does it. Now, he's not arbitrary in doing it. He's not just trying to prove a point and say, this shows that I'm sovereign. I can conceal when I choose. I can reveal when I choose, and you can't do anything about it. That's not the point. But it does contribute to his glory when he does this. He always has wise purposes in doing it, gracious purposes in doing it. He's not doing it arbitrarily. He's doing it intentionally. And he has many purposes often in mind when he does these things. But one of the results is that it displays God's glory. And furthermore, the mystery reveals something significant about God's glory, that is his character. And that we'll see when we look at the exact nature of the mystery a little further. But then number five, as we consider six aspects of the mystery, we realize that it relates to the Gentiles. Whatever this mystery is, it relates to the Gentiles. Again, verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It relates to the Gentiles who were largely excluded from God's mercy in the past, but are now included in a rich display of God's grace. You understand that, don't you? That's come up before, and it'll come up again as we examine the elements of this mystery more carefully, but this you need to understand about it. It relates to Gentiles who were largely excluded from God's mercy in the past, but are now, in this new covenant age, with the inauguration of the new covenant, are now included in a rich display of God's grace. And then the sixth aspect is that this mystery certifies Gentile glory. Christ in you, you Gentiles, the hope of glory, the indwelling Christ certifies future glory for Gentiles. Again, verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, Gentiles, you, Colossians, who are Gentiles, you, Colossian Gentiles, who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul, you, Colossian Gentiles, which are representative of a great host of Gentiles, who likewise have believed in Jesus Christ to the saving of their souls, this mystery certifies Gentile glory. Christ in you, Gentiles, the hope of glory. And you will therefore enjoy a great glory that parallels in many respects the glory that was promised to Israel under the Old Covenant. So to summarize what we've seen so far, I think we can say this in answering the question, what is this mystery? As the word is used here. And the answer is, this mystery is that Gentiles are included in God's saving purposes on equal footing with Jews. Now that doesn't sound so amazing to us today, but it was astounding in that day. The reason it doesn't sound so amazing to us is because we've become so accustomed to this. It's almost like, well, yeah, duh, of course. Gentiles are included in God's saving purposes on equal footing with Jews. But you have to understand, coming out of the old covenant era, this was absolutely amazing. It was totally astounding. And it was a mystery because this truth was largely concealed for many ages and generations. Not totally. There were indications of it in the Old Testament scriptures, but most people missed those indications. But largely hidden, but now revealed, that Gentiles are included in God's saving purposes on equal footing with Jews. And that, I think, is the most astounding part. The idea that Gentiles could be saved under the Old Covenant was not a foreign idea because the Jews knew that from time to time Gentiles came into the Jewish community and were included in the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they therefore could share in the blessings of the covenant, the salvation that was attached to the covenant. And if you could total up all the Gentiles who came into the Jewish community over the years, it would be a pretty large total. But here's the difference. These Gentiles, in order to share in the blessings and promises that God made to Israel, had to be incorporated into the Jewish community. They couldn't receive these blessings as Gentiles. They could only receive these blessings as Gentiles who became Jews. You say, how does a Gentile become a Jew? I thought you had to be born a Jew. I thought it was a racial matter. Actually, no. It certainly has racial overtones because the Jews are, for the most part, physical descendants of Abraham, and that becomes a family matter, a national matter, a racial matter, but in actuality, it really has never been that. It just has seemed to be that because of the form that it took, but because Gentiles could become Jews, could be incorporated in the Jewish community and become recipients of the Jewish promises, wasn't easy to do, but they could do it, then it was possible for Gentiles to become Jews and to inherit the same blessings and promises that were given to the Jews. But here's the astounding mystery, that in the terms of the New Covenant, Gentiles are included in God's saving purposes on equal footing with Jews. Gentiles, by believing in Jesus Christ, can receive all of the same blessings that Jews who believe in Jesus Christ receive. And Jews who don't believe in Jesus Christ don't become recipients of the covenant blessings that were promised to them. They have to have faith for those blessings to come to them. They don't come automatically because they are Jews. They come only because they are believing Jews. But guess what? Gentiles who believe get the same blessings. And that's the mystery. It was hidden from ages and generations past, but it is now revealed. It is now clear in the New Testament scriptures. This was God's purpose all along. That purpose has now been revealed. That's the mystery, and Paul was very much involved in proclaiming it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.